Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alaria, and I'm here with my guest, Deacon J.C. Ayala, who is the youth minister at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. How are you, Deacon?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me here.
Definitely. I have had a few youth ministers come in the past, and it's interesting to hear your stories and to hear the different types of youth ministries that are going on. It's so important to minister to our youth today, who are our future adults, providers of the community. And so I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you.
Now, before we get started talking about youth ministry, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am just freshly out of the diaconate studies. I was ordained back in November.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I got sent to St. Joseph on 19th Street, and it's just been a wonderful experience. So now they've told me that if I could lead the youth group, and so that's what I'm doing. But as far as my life is concerned, I've been married for 25 years.
Congratulations.
My wife is Janie, and I have three kids. Two of them have already left the home, and they're in college. My oldest is Veronica, and my other daughter is Stephanie, and I have my son Juan Carlos, who is a senior at Carroll at the moment.
Wonderful. So let me ask you, first of all, speaking about your diaconate formation, that was what, about 7 years?
It was 4 years of academics and then 1 year of what they call the inquiry. Okay. And so totally it was 5 years, and it was 5 years that I would say a lot of labor of love, and it was just a wonderful experience. I really learned a lot about my faith. And about, you know, the Catholic Church itself, and it was just an awesome experience that I had.
So let me ask you, Deacon, what called you to the diaconate program?
You know, I would have to say definitely the Holy Spirit. One day, my wife and my family and myself, we were in church there at Most Precious Blood, and there was a deacon who at the end of the Mass came to give a short talk about the diaconate and offered any men that were there present at that time to sign up and to fill out an application. I was the first one that signed up. It was just an incredible feeling that just went through me. And, you know, I'd really have to thank the Holy Spirit for moving me into that direction. And he's been guiding me ever since then at that moment.
So you've been a deacon for a few months now.
Just for a few months, yes.
And what are some of the experiences that you have now?
Well, definitely just meeting the people and just administering to them there at St. Joseph and helping out a lot with the youth group. That's really my main priority at the moment, is just getting the youth group going. And it's just been an awesome experience. The kids there have just been really wonderful, and they've been I think they just been really open to the idea of really being involved, because of course those are our leaders, those are going to be the future parishioners of St. Joseph, and so we really need to get them involved into the day-to-day activities of what's going on in the parish. So the more we have them involved, of course they're going to start to grow older, and they'll grow older with the same parish.
May I ask, do you have some, obviously you're a father, so you have experience with youth.
Definitely.
You've already experienced their teenage years and high school years, and now they're into being young adults. But what are some of your experiences with youth?
I would say just a lot of experiences just talking one-on-one about what they're going through in their lives. You know, a lot of the youth, of course, they face rejection, and they face a lot of peer pressure. And a lot of these kids may not fit in among their friends. So they have a tendency of withdrawing themselves from their friends, from their own friends, from their community. And of course, once they begin to withdraw, they just have a tendency of just being by themselves. And so there's where a lot of times their own problems begin. But one of the things that I like to do, I like to be really engaging as far as conversation. The more I get to know a particular youth, the more I can help this individual as far as any personal problems they may be encountering at the time, or any type of rejection that they're facing, which could cause some problems down the road. So that's one of the things that I would like to avoid, and where I want to engage myself is helping out that person with any particular problems that they may be facing at the moment, and then that way we can deal with them on a one-on-one basis.
You know, normally I don't like stressing this, but at this moment I think it's opportune to really mention that our youth do suffer. You know, I was a youth minister for a few years, and I got to witness that. I was also a Catholic school teacher for 4 years, and so I've worked with youth many, many years now. And, you know, on one hand, we could sugarcoat it and think that they're doing just fine. But with today's media pressures, with today's peer pressures, with the personal struggles of the youth, and then, you know, our government's trying to redefine marriage, and so the family unit is broken. There are some struggles. And, you know, part of being a youth minister is to really support the parents in helping their child understand the faith. So your role is very important. But just, you know, letting people know out there that our youth don't have it easy.
Oh, yeah, I truly agree with you on that respect, and it's really important that we don't sugarcoat it, that we face the situation head on, and that we come together as the one body of Christ and find the solutions for these youngsters, because they're the ones that if we don't find that solution, they're going to go to the wayside and they're going to become more of a problem person down the road if we don't face it head on at this very moment. So this is where I feel that my talents and my assets and my experience as a father could come to really play as far as being the youth group leader and having a tendency to finding out, okay, you know, what is going on with the youth right now? And one of the things is a lot of the youth come from single parents' homes. They come from broken homes. They come from homes where there's a lot of problems personally. So they need someone that they can reach out to. They need someone that they can talk to. They need someone where they can come and not feel rejected, not feel cast aside. And so that way they can feel welcome. And that's one of the things that I stress in all of my youth group meetings, that one of the things that I heard recently was it doesn't matter how small or how big your youth group is. What really matters is what are we doing as a community to reach out to those kids that are not involved in the youth group? You know, what can we do to go out and to evangelize to these kids and to say, hey, here's a place for you where we're not going to judge you. We're not going to cast stones on you. We're not going to point any fingers. So, you know, you are welcome. And that's our goal there at St. Joseph, is to make every youth welcome.
And I like to say that current times are much different from, let's say, 10, 20 years ago, where the youth were always at the church. Like, I remember in my youth group, I was always at the church. Where was I? I wasn't out on the streets. I wasn't doing this or that. The church was the grounding place for the family. And now it's a struggle sometimes to just get the kids in.
And you know, you're absolutely right, and that's one of the things that we're facing right now is trying to get the kids to go to church, and not only go to church, but to stay in church and to be involved. But I think one of the culprits is electronics.
Okay.
You know, the kids are just too involved with their video games, with their iPads, with their iPhones. And so it's been like a double-edged sword, you know, which is good and bad. And it's important to have electronics, but it's also important to set time limits on these electronics and say, okay, now it's time to go and worship God at church and to be engaging and to be involved. And that's the thing that we're stressing, is to not only come to church, but to be involved. And the earlier and the younger you become involved, the more you get to learn about your faith. And the more you get to learn about Catholicism, and that's the important thing that I feel that we need to do as youth ministers, is to really engage in these young people about their faith, about Catholicism, and what it really truly means to be a young Catholic in today's society.
Well, I can definitely see that you have a passion for Christ, and it's good that you have Deacon in front of your name because you're able to share that passion. We're going to talk about now the importance of the youth minister and why the youth need a role model like yourself to guide them.
Well, you know, I think one of the things is that because of my experiences as far as growing up, you know, when I was growing up and as I was sharing with my kids at home is, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have a lot of these, the technology that we have now. So I spent a lot of my summers playing baseball. You know, we were
being around people.
Right. Always being around people. And then we were really involved with the youth group back then. And, you know, I attribute a lot of my success to the youth group because we had, we were always involved in activities. And then so it prevented me from being in my room watching TV or doing nothing at all versus being outside and being sociable and being involved with other friends. And so a lot today has a lot to do with, you know, your social skills. You know, if you don't develop your social skills at a very young age, how can you go out there and get a great job? You know, if you're shy or if you don't know how to socialize, or a lot of teens nowadays don't even know how to shake a person's hand, you know, and it may not seem relevant, but when you go out and you apply for a job, that's everything.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
And my name will be forever exalted.
This is Monsignor Morgan, the pastor of St. Peter Catholic Church on Vila Road in the Annaville area. I would like to invite teenage and adult Catholics and non-Catholics to come to our Lenten one-day mission on Saturday, March the 9th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at St. Peter Church, 3901 Violet Road. We are very excited that John Michael Talbot, a best-selling author and one of the busiest motivational ministers in our country, will be our mission leader. We look forward to his teachings, music, and singing as he reminds us that nothing is impossible with God. There is no charge, and lunch will be served. For more information, call St. Peter Church 241-3249.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, youth minister, Deacon J.C. Ayala, at St. Joseph's on 19th Street here in Corpus Christi.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm so happy to see a passionate youth minister sitting in front of me. Now, during the break, we were talking about St. Joseph's and how they haven't had a youth ministry program in a while. So about how long has it been since they haven't had one?
You know, I don't know the exact length of time, but I would say it's been in probably a couple of years. A couple
okay.
of years since they've had, you know, an active youth group.
Okay. And it's good then that it's Father Angel there that has
right.
noticed there is a need for focus on the youth, and he's brought you in, recruited you. And and I must say, why do you feel it's so important? That's a different type of neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It sure is. It's the traditional Hispanic Catholic neighborhood, but a lot of the Catholics, a lot of the traditional Hispanics have moved away. So now we're left with, of course, of the older generation. So we have to go out and fish for that younger person who is willing to either travel to this area or, you know, fish for that person that's not going to church, and that we can welcome that person into St. Joseph's. That way they can start to grow in our community.
Well, and you know, though, in that community, I'm sure there's grandparents that are raising their grandchildren.
Absolutely, and we see a lot of that. A lot of the grandparents are bringing the kids, the grandkids, and that's also one of the things that we want to go ahead and put some emphasis on there, is that, you know, engage on the grandkids in the CCD program, and of course, as they start to get older, then engage them in the youth group ministry as well.
So let's go ahead and talk about then what happens in your youth ministry. I'm going to read this excerpt from your website. The youth ministry at St. Joseph's incorporates several powerful elements, including personal witness, young people's questions and thoughts, scripture lessons, faith questions and answers, praise and worship, and community service. Obviously, you all teach life skills.
Correct.
Because as you were saying before the break, sometimes our young people don't know just basic courteous things, you know, opening the door for an elderly or shaking someone's hand. And, you know, they're going to be applying for jobs, like you said, yeah. And we need to know these basic life skills.
Well, you know, a good example of this is like yesterday, we saw the video, The Greatest Miracle. And the kids there, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. I mean, they were really in tune to the movie. And then afterwards, we had an open discussion. And one of the things that I really shared with the group was it's very important to arrive to Mass early. So that way we can clear away any distractions, any hesitations that's preventing us from having that one-on-one with Christ. And of course, I really emphasize that when we enter Mass, when we enter the church, to put away your cell phones. Turn them off, or better yet, just leave them at home. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you know, you have too many kids that are just so addicted to their cell phones that they don't even want to put it away even when they're at Mass. So after seeing that movie, a lot of the youth had a really change of heart about the meaning of the Mass.
So then what's the movie, a summary on The Greatest Miracle?
Basically, it's an animated movie. It's a little bit over an hour long, but it explains to the moviegoer about what happens, the miracles that take place in the Mass. You know, that when a good example of this is when the priest puts his hands over the chalices and, you know, the angels and saints come down. And I was explaining to them afterwards that, you know, if they've lost a loved one, then that loved one is right there, right in front of them. It is there. And see, it's all about belief. Many people today have to see it to believe it. And that was one of the messages behind that movie, was we don't have to see it in order to believe it. And that was one of the things that I stressed to my kids yesterday, that we don't have to see it, but it is there.
Well, think about all the stories in our history books. We were not at those events.
Absolutely.
But we believe that
they
occurred.
We believe it. And so the Mass is no different. So many miracles occur during the Mass, yet, you know, a lot of us are not aware of it because we're not engaging enough in the Mass. So that was the very pinnacle, a very crucial point yesterday, was that all these miracles take place and that we are part of those miracles, so that when we come to Mass, we have to have reverence and we have to pay attention. And of course, no talking, no chewing gum, no texting, no nothing. But our minds should be 100% focused on the Mass. And they loved it. And, you know, I really saw a change of heart after the movie. It was a beautiful moment. It was a miracle in itself.
Well, you know, speaking about the Mass, and this has something to do with youth, my 5-year-old, when she was 3 years old, and this is a little bit of a funny story, when she was 3 years old, she had put her ear to the floor of the church. And she said, and I said, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Well, you know, the devil's down there." Okay. Well, he better try to get out. If not, he's going to get stuck down there. And and just, you know, she was understanding some concepts and really she was engaged in her little 3-year-old way.
Absolutely.
And so speaking of the youth and just going to Mass and really understanding what's going on, they're going to feel a connection.
Yes. And the younger they learn this, the more the more powerful their faith becomes. You know, nowadays they get attacked all the time. And of course, what I try to bring into the youth group is, if they get attacked by someone who is not a Catholic or is trying to criticize their faith, then of course they have to be attentive, they have to be respectful, but at the same time, they have to be ready to give an answer. You know,
so courage. You know, courage. About
yes,
being courageous.
Be courageous and be. Be how would I say? Be educated in their faith. A lot of young people today, when they have a situation where they're confronted about certain questions regarding their faith, they don't know how to answer. And so that's to them, it's real easy to I would say move to the other side of the fence, and of course to go into the non-Catholic churches, the feel good churches, these churches that have the Christian rock bands, and of course to them it's like, wow, this is great. But what happens when they come home? You know, are they really truly getting fed? And so that's one thing that I try to stress real hard with these kids, is that they are being fed in the Catholic Church. They just need to be more attentive and have more reverence to what is going on. And by seeing that movie yesterday, I pretty much guarantee that a lot of these kids, their hearts are going to be changed.
Well, and speaking of hearts, that's what was coming to mind, that their hearts and their ears and their mind are all just open to the message.
Definitely. And I see a lot of hunger. These kids are hungry for the faith. They want to learn. They want to be taught. They want to be guided. They want to be engaging. It's just that they need direction. And, of course, you know, I've been receiving a lot of help. In fact, Jaime Reyna, I believe, has been a tremendous asset to the youth group. He's the one that's been really the backbone of this as well. He's been helping me out and getting everything started. And so there's a lot of people that are really supportive of the youth group. And it's going to get strong. This is just the beginning. And I'm very excited. I wake up in the morning and I thank God for putting me in this position, because this is my passion. And it's a definite passion that I have. And I like to experience it every day. And I hope that it just continues.
Well, I can see how passionate you are. And that makes me think of a question. Have you noticed a change in some of the youth? You did mention that movie that you saw, The Greatest Miracle, and how you saw a change of heart. But is there any experience over the past few months where you've noticed one of your youth really change or really get the point?
Oh, yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, I could recall in the very first time we ever met, a lot. There were some kids that were there that were kind of shy, didn't know what to expect, and of course, they didn't have a smile on it, and I can kind of tell that they had a lot of worries in their minds. Now it's like seeing a seed that you planted, and all of a sudden you water it, and it becomes like a small tree, and then that tree becomes a big tree, and it provides a lot of shade for other trees, and so they are now becoming the tree that after being watered, that they're now to start to grow, and I could see the love and I can see the compassion in these kids.
So as a community, the kids are growing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just an exciting time to witness. And it makes me, you know, it makes me believe, yes, that the Christ is definitely alive in their hearts.
And working.
And working, yes.
Deacon, I pray that you continue to have success in your youth ministry.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Pregnant women have a special glow. They glow with an expectancy and shine with a joyful radiance, proclaiming new life. They glow with a joy of anticipation and potentiality, a joy of wonderment and tender love. More than this, it is a joy that becomes complete only through the pangs of labor and a child born in the throes of great suffering. Once that labor is complete, the exhausted mother glows again when her baby is placed upon her breast. It is one of the most beautiful moments we can experience in this life. Furthermore, it is a great mystery upon which we should reflect. The fact that life is born through suffering raises questions, Questions like, why is that, and what is the meaning of it? As well as, if life is such a good thing, why would God want us to suffer to bring it about? To start with, it's important for us to know and remember the reason for our existence, which is to know and love God with our entire being. We should also remember that we are made in His image and likeness, something we often fail to consider. What is that image? How are we like Him? We know that God is one. We also know that He is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what does this tell us, and how does it help us to understand the mysteries of life and suffering? Well, God the Father begot His only Son, giving Him all that He is, holding back nothing of Himself. The Son, in response to the Father's total gift of self, accepts the gift and offers it back to the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the exchange of love between the Father and the Son. This is the image of God in which we are made, an image that calls for us to be a gift to one another and to receive the gift of that other person. Further, it is an image that calls us to love. Imagine giving yourself totally to someone you love. You die to self, denying everything for the sake of the beloved. Being made in God's image leads us to the knowledge that we share certain attributes with Him. Like the Father, we know with our mind and have a free will with which to make decisions. Like the Son, we have a body by which we express our love through actions and words. And like the Holy Spirit, we have a soul which is life-giving and enables us to love. This is how we are like God, and that we use our will to decide to make a gift of self to another, and in that gift, we encounter love. If we dwell on these things, we should eventually come to realize that it is not God's desire for us to suffer. Our suffering leads us to value life and love, to value the gift of person in our life. This is why it is possible for a woman to bear a child in great pain and then come back and do it again. Expectant women hold a mystery of creation within their wombs, a mystery of love that is totally self-giving. Most men would do well to learn a lesson from this great mystery of love between a mother and her child. May you encounter the mystery of love in the depths of your life, in both joy and suffering, and may the sacred moments of your life be filled with a radiant expectancy of life to come. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon J.C. Ayala, who is the youth minister at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. If you would like more information, please call the parish at 361-882-7912. Have a great Sunday, and thanks for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.